Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Fifth Beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The town, of course, is Hanover City, the scene of our first four stories of modern living. On the whole, it's a well-conducted community. Political scandal has not touched it in a long time. But just at present, well, we shall see. Together over a late dinner in the city's best restaurant, we meet Harry Murdock and Ted Oliver. Murdock past middle age, Oliver in his early 30s.
Look, Murdock, what's it mean to you?
What does it mean to me? I don't get you.
I mean financially.
Well, $5,000 a year. That's a matter of public knowledge.
And that's all, isn't it? $5,000 a year.
What's in the back of your mind?
Politics. Politics in Hanover City.
A dull subject.
And you've been working at it for 35 years.
35 years wasted.
Exactly. Look, Murdock, your vote in the city council can change politics in this city overnight.
My vote? On what issue?
New chief of police.
Oh, that's in the bag.
The Drakely bag?
Of course.
Drakely doesn't control either Stevenson or Miller.
But he does control the mayor and Joe Marhefka. Well, I've always more or less gone along with him, too. After all, he's the winning side, Frank Drakely is.
Yeah, the $5,000 side. The dull side.
5 years ago, when he retired as chief of police, Frank Drakely kept up his interest in Hanover City, and he became more or less the power behind the scene of the city's dominant political faction. That faction has pretty well succeeded in making Hanover City the well-conducted community it is. But young Ted Oliver's idea of city government is somewhat different from Frank Drakely's.
Murdock, all you have to do is take one chance. Look, Sullivan's reached the age limit. He's going on pension in 3 months. All right. Drakely wants a new chief to be that young fellow White, Jerry White. The mayor and Joe Mahefka, they're voting for White. Stevenson and Miller, they're voting for Jack Pauley. So that leaves it up to you. Harry, old man, why in the name of $5,000 plus won't you vote for Pauley?
What do you mean by $5,000 plus?
$5,000, that's your salary. The plus would be... Use your imagination.
Mean that Pauley would let things go on?
Yeah. Things that go on in practically every city in the country except this one. Things that mean money for Paulie and his friends. Things that aren't going on here now and that won't go on if that fellow Jerry White becomes chief of police.
He's pretty good.
Oh, he's ambitious. I don't blame him for that, but going around being pious and all that just in order to play up the church people.
Just in order to impress Drakeley. Just in order to play up to church people. Just in order to impress Drakeley. Just in order to play up to church people.
Pat, darling.
Yes? Oh, I'm sorry. I was all wrapped up in this article.
Oh, interesting, is it?
Quite. I think you'd enjoy it yourself. The writer has a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah, I'll have to read it.
What's on your mind, Jerry?
Well, I look as if I had something on it.
Yes. Anything serious happened today?
No, not as far as police work's concerned.
Well, Lieutenant, what is it? Cold in the head? That wisdom tooth bothering you again? Or did some little boys throw stones at you and knock off your cap?
Darling, you know what I've just about decided?
What, dear?
To resign from the police force.
Jerry!
Yeah, I still have that old hankering to move out into the country and settle down on a farm.
Jerry, they're just about ready to appoint you chief, aren't they?
Harry Murdoch was rumored to be thinking of voting for Jack Pauley, but he's changed his mind. He told the newspapers today he'd vote for me.
But I know you like to think about farms, but it's something else, isn't it?
Pat, you remember when the doctors told us we wouldn't have any children? We had a long talk. We talked it over with Father Morgan. We settled that, well, if there weren't going to be any children, we'd do whatever we could for other children. And old people and people down on their luck.
The corporal and spiritual works of mercy.
It was your idea.
No, it was yours.
Well, let's say it was Father Morgan's idea.
Whosever idea it was, you've certainly practiced it.
Just following your example.
In 2 more minutes, if we don't stop complimenting each other, we'll be proud of our humility.
Well, I am proud of yours, I can tell you that.
Let's be serious.
Oh, yeah. Police force, being the big chief. But you know the story that's gone around? Lieutenant White does what he does in order to impress Captain Drakeley, in order to play up to the church crowd.
Jerry, is that what people are saying?
Mm-hmm. So I understand.
But it isn't true. That isn't your reason.
I wonder.
Well, you know it isn't.
I like the idea of being chief of police.
Well, is there anything wrong with that?
Maybe we've been doing the things we have in order to get ahead.
Jerry, you'd get ahead without trying. It's your nature. You're a born leader.
Oh, I don't know, Pat. I don't know. Feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, comforting the afflicted. All that, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Well, maybe I've been using them as stepping stones.
Stepping stones to heaven, yes.
Maybe stepping stones to chief of police.
Oh, darling, you're being too severe with yourself.
The next day passes, and the day after that, and Jerry wrestles with his problem of conscience. Pat, his wife, upset by the problem, not opposing him on it, but upset by it, tells her mother. And her mother, Mrs. Cricket, tells Jerry.
Gerald White, I've never heard of such a thing, really.
I never heard of it myself.
Giving up a good position for a silly reason like that.
Mother, it isn't a silly reason. Not with Jerry, anyhow. I think it's a sort of mixed up reason.
I should say it is mixed up. I'm sorry, Jerry, but it's a question of the welfare and security of my daughter.
Oh, it's not the welfare and security I'm worried about.
Well, what are you worried about?
Jerry himself.
Oh, you don't have to worry about me.
But, darling, would this drastic step, would it be the right thing for you?
The right thing? Giving up a good position and a pension at the end of it? How could it possibly be the right thing?
Well, all I can say is, oh, I wish I could explain it. But
The idea of using my religion just for the purpose of getting ahead.
But it's not your purpose, darling. You're not using your religion. You're practicing it. You're living up to it.
If you ask me, I think that the two of you are living up to it too seriously. Charity, you know, begins at home. Half of this money you're giving away on these good works, well, you ought to be putting it into insurance. Think of your old age.
Now, Mother, Pat and I are putting enough into insurance to take care of our old age.
Well, how will you take care of your present age if you give up your position? Barney, it's silly and violent. That's what it is. Tearing up your roots.
Yes, tearing up our roots from city cement and planting them in the good earth.
Poetic, isn't it? It's violent. That's the only word for it. Violent. Inexcusable. Crazy. Downright lunatic crazy.
Pulling up their roots from city cement and planting them in the good earth. The idea for Jerry did have its poetry to it. But he acted on the idea the way he acted on every idea that he took seriously. That is, he threw himself into it. He worked with a will. The result? Time passes by. The seasons of the year. Seasons of sowing and seasons of harvest. And times aren't always good. Life on the farm isn't easy at first. Life on the farm is never easy, really. But Jerry works. He works. And Pat, his wife, stands by him. She stands by him. And gradually, in that farming country outside Hanover City, Pat and Jerry become personalities among their neighbors.
Well, you've elected me chairman of the community chest drive in this county. I take it that that means you want me to go around getting money out of you. And that would seem to mean that you have money to give away. Well, that's good. It'll make my job easy. But seriously, I know that you want to give money to the various hospitals and orphanages and other good causes. Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, and non-sectarian, here in our county and in Hanover City. It's an honor to be elected chairman by people like you. It's an honor simply to be a neighbor of people like you. In the few short years we've been with you, my wife and I have been happy among you. And I promise you I'll translate that happiness into hard work in behalf of the Community Chest Drive.
Mercy to people's bodies and people's minds. These occupied much of the limited spare time of Jerry White and his wife, Pat. One of the works of mercy to people's minds is instructing them in the truth. As an active member of the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, Pat helps Father Morgan to teach catechism to adults seeking instruction in religion. Father Morgan is pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Church in Hanover City. And he has a mission chapel out in the country, a mile or so from the White's farm. There, in a meeting room, Pat, once a week, teaches the catechism.
Now say it after me. All together, shall we? Don't be self-conscious about it. All together now, shall we? God made me to know him, love him, and serve him.
God made me to know him, love him, and serve him.
In this life.
In this life.
And to be happy forever with him.
And to be happy forever with him.
In the next.
In the next.
That wasn't too hard.
Of course it wasn't. I just wanted to hear grown-ups saying it together. I'm so used to hearing children.
Then, one day, while Jerry is out at the far end of the farm, repairing a fence.
Help! Oh, go away! Jerry! Jerry!
I was there, Jerry, there in the kitchen when he came in. It was Ted Oliver, that politician.
He was drunk and he came in and put his arms around me and tried to kiss me. I broke away and ran to the door and screamed.
Now, don't worry, darling. You'll be all right. Where is he? Which way did he go?
The wagon path, the old wagon path.
Down to the woods?
Yes. Jerry, you're not going to hurt him.
Oh. Oh, hello, Jerry. I'm sorry. Gosh, when I walked in, I didn't know it was your farmhouse. Honestly, I didn't. I thought the gal was somebody else's wife, not yours. Really, I didn't. I was...
Jerry, what have you done to him?
Well, there he is.
Oh, he's hurt, Jerry. He's suffering. Look at him lying there. He can hardly breathe. What are we going to do with him?
Put him in the car and take him to Hanover City Hospital, I suppose.
2 days later, in the Hanover City Hospital, Ted Oliver is lying in bed. Jerry White is standing alongside, looking down on him.
Yeah, well, White, I apologize the day I did it. I've apologized today. What more do you want? I'll go and apologize to your wife as soon as I get out of this hospital.
After you get out of this hospital, I want you to get out of this town.
Get what?
Get out of this town and stay out of it.
What do you mean?
Your type has no place in this town. The people around here, most of them are decent, and you're not.
What if I weren't laid up here in bed?
I'd let you have it again.
Yeah, but Jerry, I was born in Hanover City. I live here. My mother and father live here.
You can take your mother and father with you if you want.
You mean...
I mean what I say. Now get yourself out of Hanover City soon, very soon, quick.
The next evening, Pat being out of the house visiting one of their neighbors, Father Morgan calls on Jerry.
Jerry, what's this I hear about you and Ted Oliver?
What do you hear, Father?
They tell me you intend to beat him up again if he doesn't leave town.
They tell you? Who are they?
Oh, well, a little bird in my windowsill, Jerry. A dove apiece.
Mm-hmm. Ted Oliver himself, I suppose.
It could be. It could be.
Father, I'm sorry to put it to you this way, but as far as I'm concerned, Ted Oliver's no dove of peace. He's a sitting duck, and if he doesn't fly away, I'm going to bag him.
You seem to have a lot of feeling and passion about him.
I have that, all right.
Well, I have a lot of feeling and passion myself, Jerry, about one thing in particular, especially this evening.
And what's that, Father?
Peace and goodwill and charity among human beings. I believe in them, and I'd like to see you practice them, Jerry.
I've always tried to practice them.
You now have a chance to practice the real thing.
What do you mean, Father?
Mercy. The real thing. Real mercy. Forgiveness of someone who has trespassed against you.
Oh.
The spiritual and corporal works of mercy, they're wonderful things. Whether people practice them out of willpower or natural good nature, they're wonderful things. And you and Pat, you've practiced them, no doubt about that, Jerry. But why have you practiced them? Out of sheer good nature? Haven't God Almighty and your willpower had anything to do with them?
I don't understand, Father.
What is facing you now, Jerry, this very moment? A real chance to be really merciful. Merciful not when it's easy, but when it's hard. Face up to that chance. Jerry, you understand what I'm driving at, don't you?
Yes, I understand, Father. You can tell Ted Oliver for me that... Well, tell him I'll forget all about everything. No. No, Father, I'll tell him myself.
Ten years later, Congressman Jerry White is addressing a crowd of people in the auditorium at Hanover City High School.
Well, friends, it's good to be back. As far as my first term as your congressman is concerned, I've enjoyed it. I've done the best at it that I could. There are things in Washington that can make a man unhappy. There are Democrats who are Democrats first and Americans second. Republicans who are Republicans first and Americans second. That kind of politics saddens me, especially at a time in world history like the present. However, loyal though I've been to my party, I think I can honestly say that, along with certain patriotic men in Washington whom I admire, I have tried in my own small way to be an American first. That has been easy, because all along I know I have been representing men and women who believe in being Americans first, and whose idea of party politics is not a narrow, old-fashioned, outdated idea. And so, on the whole, down in Washington, I have been happy. But I am glad to be home. And I rather think that I shall stay home. The suggestion that I run next as your candidate for the United States Senate, that touches me. I feel honored by it. But there are men in this state who would make far better senators than I would. And besides, I have a personal reason for wishing to settle back again on my beloved farm. My wife and I have not been blessed with children of our own. And so we have adopted a little boy and a little girl, brother and sister, whose father was killed in Korea and whose mother died some months ago of a strange infection. Many of you here knew the mother and father well, Captain and Mrs. Paul McHenry. Well, little Larry and little Margie are at the White farmhouse now, and frankly, I wish to see as much of them as my wife does. I shall continue, as always, to take an interest in public life, but I shall lead a private life. Back among you again, my neighbors and my friends.
Darling, that was a beautiful, beautiful speech.
The last speech I'll ever give in my life.
Oh, don't say it that way. Makes you sound old, and you're still only in your 40s.
No, I feel like I did in my 20s and 30s.
You mean with the weight of politics lifted from you?
No. I mean with the weight of those two children. One of them in each of my arms. They're like puffs of cotton, aren't they?
They are little honeys.
Adopting them. Oh, that was a wonderful idea of yours.
I think you like the boy best.
Oh, I like them both. I think you like the girl best.
I like them both, too. I love them.
Oh, it's grand to be coming home, Pat. And staying there, not just dropping in for a visit.
Washington's a beautiful and interesting city, but...
Yeah, but's the word. Oh, there's no place like home. What's the latest Hanover City news? I don't mean the headlines. I've seen those. I mean the folksy news.
Well, the Ambroses have sold all their chickens.
No. He's more or less retiring, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Gowrie has bought the old Crossroads place.
Good. Good. He'll restore it and take good care of it.
And Ted Oliver, remember Ted?
I'll never forget him.
Well, after giving up politics and all those ups and downs in business he had, he's doing nicely now, they say. And he married Sally Cousin.
Ted Oliver married Sally Cousin? Will wonders never cease.
Hmm? He married Sally Cousin.
Well, that's good. Sally ought to do a lot of good for him.
They say he did a lot of good for himself before he married her.
Mm-hmm. Pulled himself together, has he?
Yes.
Good, good. Well, there we are, Pat. The old farmhouse.
Old? Don't say old. We've only been there 14 years.
Well, you know what I mean. Hey, shall I blow the horn and wake the little shavers
Just
up?
You try. If you wake them up, you'll have to put them back to sleep.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't know how to do that.
Oh, don't worry, darling. You'll learn.
The next evening, after a gentleman who has talked privately with Jerry has left the White farmhouse.
Darling, you have a strange look on your face.
Oh, really?
The second, it gave me the queerest feeling. You don't seem to want to talk about it.
Talk about a look on my face?
Reminded me of the strange look you had that night, remember? Just before you told me you were going to resign from the police force.
Yeah, a lot of water's flowed under the bridge since that night.
Oh, a whole Mississippi of water. Farming and success. Politics and success. Now the two little children. Were you thinking about them?
No.
Oh, tell me, what is it? Was it by any chance that nice gentleman who was just here?
Well, yes. In a way, yes.
What do you want, a political job?
Well, yes and no.
You're being so mysterious.
He did want a political job for someone else.
Oh?
Ted Oliver.
Really? I thought Ted was doing well in business.
He is, but he wants to run, and his friends want him to run. For Congress, to take my place. If I'm resigning, which I am, they want him to take my place.
Him? Why do you say it like that, contemptuously?
Do you think I'd consent to the nomination of a man like that?
A man like what, Jerry? Well, he's not the man he used to be, you know. He's a better man now. He's tried hard and he's made good. He's all right. He's pulled himself together.
Oh.
Well, you forgave him once, Jerry. You were merciful. You were going to beat up his body, but you didn't. Now are you going to beat up his mind?
It's an odd expression. Beat up his mind. What do you mean by it?
You know what I mean, darling. A man's mind is more important than his body. Forgive his mind, too. It's changed. His thoughts are good now. Be merciful, Jerry. Where are you going, darling?
I'll take a look at the children.
But, Jerry, what about... What about...
You win, Pat. You win. As far as beating people up's concerned, I gave up being a bully a long time ago, I hope.
God bless you, darling.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He look upon you with kindness and give you His peace. Amen.